Good morning, Chochi family. I'm so glad you have, you know, made it to come to church this morning. That is wonderful. Is there anyone who have, you know, hard time this morning to wake up? Maybe a lot of people, including myself. And I know that even though the weather is not favorable to us this morning, the road is very slippery, but we are here to give our heart and our, you know, life again to our Lord in our worship service. And I believe God will accept us as, you know, living sacrifice. So with that faith, let us join the service together. And we have, you know, special announcements. Let me show you some pictures. You know, three of our church members went down to Cass Community last Saturday. So they took some pictures, you know, together. I hope next time more of our church members can participate in this, you know, mission trip down to, you know, Cass Community in Detroit area, okay? Fritz, you did a good job. Okay, we have, you know, announcements about mobile food pantry. Amy Fisher?
Good morning. Jesus was pretty clear in Matthew 25 that we will always have folks around us who are hungry or thirsty or ill or lonely. There will always be strangers in our midst. And Jesus said, when you greet them and when you support them and when you feed them, you're doing all those things to me. And so we want to make sure that we're constantly keeping that in mind, that we want to constantly support and minister to those who are struggling. And so we have an opportunity on Thursday, March the 21st, we are hosting a mobile food pantry, and that is a co-effort with the Midland County Food Assistance Network in Midland here. And the Food Bank of Eastern Michigan brings in a semi-truck, and it's filled with pantry staples and milk, meat, produce, and they're gonna park that at the Dow Diamond. We'll have a crew of volunteers to unload that truck, sort the truck. There'll be big boxes on pallets like you can see here, and then it is a beautiful, well-oiled machine. People will pull their cars in to that big Dow Diamond lot and will be blessed with multiple boxes of food to take home. This is a really powerful way to bless over 150 families. And we're gonna get that done that Thursday morning, the 21st. Times are off a little bit on the Facebook post, so we would love to have you join us. You could do everything from pushing grocery carts to restocking those boxes. There's gonna be a job for everyone. If you need to go and sit in your car for a little bit, that's fine too. That would be an 8:30 arrival at the Dow Diamond parking lot where the farmer's market is held. The semi comes at 9. We unpack and get going, and we're all wrapped up by about 10:30, 11 o'clock that morning. So come on out. You can see those big boxes filled with, those are chicken breasts and pork chops and gallons of milk being pulled off the truck. So we're excited to be able to bless some people in our greater Midland neighborhood. So come on out. Thank you.
Okay. And then Member Care Ministry.
Good morning. My name is Beth Hyde, and this is Chris Kurowski. We're from the Member Care team here at church. Our Member Care mission statement is, we hold in our hearts a commitment to promote caring for the spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being of our congregation. Our team provides a variety of services to our members, some you may not be aware of. It includes the prayer ministry, team coordinated by Pat Seaton and Hillary Ferguson, the visitation team led by Mike Luce, meal cards and notes to those who have been hospitalized, and grief booklets for those who have lost a loved one, among many other services. I want to ask that each of you pass on prayer concerns for members who are in need or who are hospitalized so we can pray and show our concern for them. If you go into the hospital, be sure to notify the church office, as due to HIPAA concerns, we don't get that information directly. As many of you are aware, there's been a significant rise in the last year in needs for basic food, housing, and paying bills in our community and across the country. This is clear across all assistance programs in the county and does not stop at the doors of our church, with members also facing their own financial and other crises.
The member care team over the last several years has used part of our budget to help our own members when they are in crisis. We, along with the other church teams, supported members impacted by the 2020 flood. We've helped when a member had a house fire and had to be relocated to a hotel for 6 months, including over the Christmas holidays. We sponsored a young family after the loss of the father to have a special Christmas. We've helped with repairs on a member's home. We recently helped a senior move from an apartment to assisted living. We are looking forward to continue and hopefully expand this program in 2024 based on Easter offering donations, which will be designated for this expanded member care assistance program. It does take communication to know when there are needs in the congregation, so we ask that you privately contact Beth Hyde or myself or someone on the member care team if you are aware of someone struggling with spiritual, emotional, or physical needs. We're here to help and support. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think our member care team has done a wonderful job to take good care of our church members. So this year, our Easter offering will be used to help out our church members who are in need through our member care team. And I'm going to send out that in a letter to you before Easter Sunday. And please prayerfully donate the special offering of Easter Sunday, Easter, to our church. And we have our church members who will be joining the Advocacy Day this year. Why don't you come front, come to the front. Renee, would you please, tell us about the, Advocacy Day, this year? Yeah, come over here. Yeah.
Advocacy Day this year will be focusing on greater access to mental health resources. So the four of us will be visiting with our representatives in the House and Senate down in Lansing, along with over 250 other United Methodists from all over the state.
So I heard that you guys make a special, butterflies, painted
yes.
butterflies. Okay. Can you tell us about them,
The semicolon butterflies are a symbol of hope. They give the message because a semicolon isn't the end of a sentence. It means there's more to my story. So it's especially noted among those who have contemplated ending their lives and chose not to.
Yeah. The Advocacy Day this year is this coming Wednesday. So they need your prayer, okay? A lot of our United Methodist Church members, they will get together in Lansing area to visit our lawmakers. So we need your prayer. And why don't you stand up? And we have a prayer on the screen. I'd like to pray this prayer together as we are having this Advocacy Day this coming Wednesday. Let us pray this prayer together. Dear most gracious God, Jesus healed the sick. It made no difference to him whether the person was rich or poor, male or female, Jew or Gentile. Jesus had compassion and restored people to health. So we ask Christ's blessings on these butterflies. May they remind our legislators that providing mental health care for those who need help improves the lives of us all. We pray this and we ask a blessing on these justice seekers who are traveling to Advocacy Day in Lansing. May they speak words of truth and compassion on behalf of those who need access to mental health resources. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our healer, restorer, and savior. Amen. Amen. Let us greet one another, okay? Please go to the person you didn't know. Thank you so much.
Would you please join me in the call to worship? Let us give thanks to Christ Jesus the Lord, in whom we live and move and have our being, that he has established us in faith, is rooting us in his love, and is building us in himself. As those who are rooted in Christ and built in him, let us be on our guard and careful in discerning what is and is not of God in the world around us. You may be seated.
Except for the kids. Come on down. We are very impressed that you are here despite the time change, and perhaps even more impressed with your parents. Good to see you guys. Today is the fourth getting ready day for Easter. We will rehear and retell the legend of the Easter eggs. We will also think about the ministry of Jesus, especially how he healed and taught us to pray. And now let us pray.
Dear Jesus, thank you for being God's holy Son. Because of you, we know we are loved. Because of you, we know how to pray. Because of you, we know we are forgiven. Because of you, we know how to be good at living. Amen.
And guys, we're going to stay for the new members because they're friends of ours. And then we'll go to Sunday school.
Today, we have our new church family join us officially as our new members, the Gibbon family. Please come forward, the Gibbon family.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of holy baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through the water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reformation of our faith, the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared in our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. I present the following persons to be confirmed in their faith in Jesus Christ, Nick and Crystal Gibbon. If you would turn around, please.
On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, races, and ethnicities.
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world?
I will.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include Nick and Crystal and their kids, Blake and Natalie, before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Nick Gibbon, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Crystal? Crystal Gibbon, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
As members of Christ's universal church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give you thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Amen.
Please turn around. Would you please, you know, welcome the new family, the Given family? Thank you. We have a special gift from our member care ministry.
I have a welcome gift for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take it.
Welcome.
Welcome you. Would you please bow your head and join me in the prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for your love that sacrificed your Son Jesus for our sins. We give thanks to you for our church family, which you purchased through the blood of your Son, Jesus, who shed on the cross. We give thanks for giving us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, holiness, and unity. As we are in the middle of the Lenten season this year, we pray that Midland First can be more faithful and conscious of our call as your missionary people in our neighborhood, near and far. Be with our missionaries, mission stations, and mission agencies that we have been supporting. Let them be sharpened in their call and strengthen their ministries, even though they are in challenging and transitional situations. God, remember the people in Haiti who are in turmoil. God, let them find peace at this time and restore the order of society by allowing them compassionate and honest leaders. God, the devastation continues in Gaza. We pray for your peace in both Gaza and Israel. The United States has been in unrest as we head into a November presidential election. We pray for your peace in our country. Remember the war-torn countries, Ukraine, Russia, Myanmar, and many others. God, we pray for a ceasefire and the restoration and healing of the people in those countries. Show your goodness and mercy to our church family who have been in sickness, despair, and suffering. Surround them with your mighty power and help them to be healed and find hope in you for the future. Thank you, God, for calling us to be your family. Let us be an authentic and holy community of faith in Jesus Christ. Now we pray the prayer our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please, you know, take out our French pass and let us know you are here today with us. And we really appreciate your continued support for the missions we have at the church. Please participate in our missions with your prayer and also with your financial support. Ushers, please come forward.
While we are taking our offering today, I'd like to invite our Explore class to come up. We have a song that we would like to do for you. I know the bulletin says Boomwhackers, but we were able to find a gorgeous arrangement for chimes of a song called Evening Rise. Today we're doing chimes a little differently. Guys, we're going to grab our chimes and then stand right up here on the middle level. Because we have a diverse group of students in our class, this is a ministry that this church is supporting. We have beginner music education folks of all ages. We are a multi-generational class. We practice on Wednesdays. And because we have people of different learning levels, today you're going to see one of the types of learning tools that we can use. It is something akin to a karaoke for a chime. Not everybody has the ability. Delaney, for example, she'll be on recorder today, but Delaney has vision issues, and so being able to see black dots on a white page is difficult. However, she can see color, and she can see movement, and so this is one of the learning tools that we have to be able to facilitate learning at every level. So we ask you to enjoy Evening Rise. Do you have my chimes? Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings we have in our lives. God, with faith, we give these offerings to you. God, please use them for your glory and also for your kingdom. And also, God, we give our lives to you. Please, God, accept us and use us for your missions in the world. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from two places in the New Testament. First, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Watch out that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. The Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please bow your head again and join me in the prayer? God, thank you so much for being with your church, Midland First. God, help us to be in line with you continually. And God, please use our church to help those who are in need, especially in need of Jesus Christ in the world. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm so glad that we can have time during the Lenten season this year to think about the purposes of our life through the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Are you reading that book right now? Just raise your hand. Yeah, we have plenty of copies of the book. I strongly recommend you to read that book, especially during this Lenten season. This is not the book just, you know, you can just read one time. I highly recommend you to read this book several times. And then it will be a wonderful gift to your friend or your family members. Please, you know, read the book, you know, continually. Do you remember the first purpose of our life? What is the first purpose of our life? Worship. And what is worship? Worship is our response to God's love. Our response to God's love. And what is the second purpose of our life? Fellowship. We belong to God and we belong to one another. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. In Apostle Paul's time, the secular meaning of koinonia was engagement. One of the most intimate words for the union of the two persons before their marriage, engagement. When the word was used in the church, the meaning had been changed to sharing. Koinonia is all about sharing. Sharing our time, strength, and energy, money, experiences, skills, and knowledge, and even our lives. That is koinonia, fellowship, sharing. Today, we will explore our third purpose. You were created to become like Christ. I think this simple sentence, in this simple sentence, we can find three lessons we need to remember. First of all, we are not perfect. you were created to become like Christ. It means we are not perfect. We are in the making. We are under repair. There is still room for us to grow more in our love. One of Pastor Rick Warren's repeated messages in his book is this: our life here on earth is to learn how to love others. Also, you were created to become like Christ means our journey of life has an ultimate destination, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be the goal of our lives. Jesus Christ is the model of our lives. We have to be more like Jesus Christ in the ways we think, speak, and act. That is why I believe we have to pray this kind of prayer every day. God, let me resemble your son Jesus today in my thoughts, words, and actions. Holy Spirit, let me be an aroma of Jesus. Jesus, I am your ambassador to the world. Please be with me. Can you pray this prayer together with me? Okay, let us pray this prayer together. God, let me resemble your son Jesus today in my thoughts, words, and actions. Holy Spirit, let me be an aroma of Jesus. Jesus, I'm your ambassador to the world. Please be with me. We have to be very intentional about that. Yes, we are in the making. We are not perfect, which means we need help from our God. So we have to, you know, pray this kind of prayer every day. God, I know I'm not perfect. I repent the words I said today to my wife, to my children, to my husband. God, please mold me in your hands so that I can reveal the character of Jesus Christ continually. And also, you were created to become like Christ means God is working on us. God is working on us. God will use all the things we are experiencing, like joy, sorrow, gratitude, frustration, gladness, and challenges to help us grow more like Jesus Christ. Let me share with you some scriptures on God's plan for our transformation and sanctification. Colossians 2:7, let your roots grow down into Christ and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth. Okay, where we can get the spiritual nourishment so that we can grow? From our Lord Jesus Christ. From his words. From the directions we can get from him. Whenever we respond to the nudging of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be with the people who are in need. We can grow. We can continually grow to be more like Jesus Christ. That is what God is doing right now in our lives. And also next scripture. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. Please raise your hand if you really love our Lord Jesus Christ. Just raise your hand. It means God is working in you. God is working in you and in me. You were created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. The next one, take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. That is what God is doing in our lives. Let me quote Rick Warren on this purpose. God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but character development. He wants you to grow spiritually and become like Christ. Becoming like Christ does not mean losing your personality or becoming a mindless clone. God created your uniqueness, so he certainly doesn't want to destroy it. Christ-likeness is all about transforming your character, not your personality. This process of changing us to be more like Jesus is called sanctification. And it is the third purpose of your life on earth. As we are transformed to be like Jesus Christ, we must remember the following three things. First one is this: our character development is the work of the Holy Spirit. Our character development is the work of the Holy Spirit. As I preached last Sunday, God's concern for our life is bearing fruit. What is the fruit? Do you remember? What is the fruit? Am I in the same congregation this morning? Love, right? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are different kinds of colors of love. That is why we have a singular noun, fruit, not a plural noun, fruit. The fruit is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verses 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. God put his desires in our heart. And also, God gives us his power. And as God is working in us, we have to respond obediently to the nudging of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Apostle Paul was always conscious of the gospel of Jesus Christ he had, and also the grace he had in his life. So this is what he said: my old self has been crucified with Christ. He understood that. My old self was crucified on the cross already. I'm a new person. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I invite Christ into my life, and he is my Lord. And I have to be guided by our Lord every moment in my life, in every making decision, you know, situations. I have to fully depend on God. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I knew that Jesus gave his life for me. So my life is worthwhile giving up myself for Jesus Christ. And I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, which means I know my grace from God through Jesus Christ. I'm a new person, so I'm going to obey the nudgings I have from our Lord Jesus Christ. When we obey, we can understand why the Holy Spirit nudged us to follow His directions. Also, when we obey, then we can experience the power from above. Our obedience itself is the power from God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So to be more like Jesus Christ, we have to obey what God is speaking to us. To grow more in our love for others and also for our Lord Jesus Christ, for our God, we have to build up a very obedient relationship with our Lord. At least 8 times in the New Testament, we are told to make every effort in our growth toward becoming like Jesus Christ. 8 times in the New Testament. Make every effort in following Jesus Christ so that we can be more like Jesus Christ. Secondly, develop spiritual habits by practicing the means of grace. As you might remember, we had the sermon series in January about the means of grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To do so, we have to develop spiritual habits of being in the presence of Jesus Christ by practicing the means of grace in our lives. What is the goal of practicing means of grace? By experiencing God's grace in our lives, we can grow to be more like Jesus Christ. Let me quote the book of discipline we have in our denomination on the means of grace. Life in spirit involves diligent use of the means of grace, such as praying, fasting, attending upon the sacraments, and inward searching in solitude. It also encompasses the communal life of the church in worship, mission, evangelism, service, and social witness. The reason why we do not grow is because we put the limits, put the boundaries of our missions and ministries, and even in our relationship with others. But the Holy Spirit is continually nudging us to go beyond that boundaries you set in your life. As we go beyond the boundaries we set in our relationship with other people, in the time we set for our ministries and missions, we can experience the new things we never experienced before. We can have a good new understanding about who God is and what God is doing in the world. By doing so, when we experience continually aha moment about God, the new knowledge we have about God, then we can grow more. Think about this. Haven't you set the boundaries over your relationship, over your time? When you say, oh, I'm doing the ministries of God, I'm participating in God's missions, please follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit asks you to go beyond the boundaries you set, follow His direction. Then we can experience new being of ourselves in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Last but not least, we need our church family. We need our church family to become more like Jesus Christ. Even though we have attended our church over 30 years, 40 years, even 50, 60 years, we know people in our congregation, but actually we do not know them very well. even though we have been in the same sanctuary for years. But there are many times we do not know well about our church members. Let me quote Rick Warren about this. Spiritual maturity is not a solitary individual pursuit. You cannot grow to Christ-likeness in isolation. You must be around other people and interact with them. You need to be a part of a church and community. Why? Because true spiritual maturity is all about learning to love like Jesus, and you cannot practice being like Jesus without being in relationship with other people. Remember, it's all about love, loving God and loving others. Please, church family, try hard to get to know each other. Now, today we have a new family joining our church. Just, you know, introduce yourself to the family and welcome them and embrace them authentically into our family. Can you do that? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "This will continue until we are mature, just as Christ is, and we will be completely like him." We will be completely like him. Here, Apostle Paul says, "We." It means the church family. We will be formed and reformed continually to be more like Jesus Christ, especially in our church family. By doing so, we can cultivate a life in common. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "I will put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common." Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Let us say to the person sitting next to you, "God is working on you. We need you." Just say this, you know, two sentences to the person sitting next to you. "God is working on you. We need you." Yeah. I'm so glad the couples who didn't say that, you know, last Sunday, they did it today. So I'm so glad. Let me share with you a story of Loren Cunningham. He founded Youth Widow Mission, YM, which is an international, interdenominational Christian training organization for missions. I know some of the kids, you know, who had been brought up from our church, they joined this training in Hawaii. He had influenced so many souls to lead them to Jesus Christ, and trained many young leaders and pastors to find their calling from God. I was in college when he came to South Korea and led a three-day revival rally in my hometown, Chuncheon. I was so moved by his preaching, and I read several of his books. One of his mottos for his ministry is still in my mind, which is, "You do the possible, and then God will do the impossible. You do the possible, and then God will do the impossible." We have to endeavor to work with the Holy Spirit obediently, following his nudging in our lives, so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. Loren Cunningham passed away in October last year. He left this message for us. If you do not obey God, it's not possible for you to love God If you don't listen to God's voice, you cannot love him. If you do not listen to God's voice, it's not easy for you to grow. When we love our God, we will find ourselves continually being transformed. Let us love our God through our lives, together with our church family. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much for working on in our lives. God, we are yours. Help us to continually hear your voices and follow your directions so that we can grow more and more to be more like Jesus Christ. God, bless our church family. We are called together to build up your church together. God, we believe the way we can build up church is to be renewed so that we can have the character of Jesus Christ continually in our lives. God, please use us together to build up your kingdom by transforming our lives. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can continually discern the voices of God for your life. Now, go in peace. Amen.